Would you put Romans 10 and 9, Brother Ryan, on there? Let's read a verse or two here. This has nothing to do with the sermon, but look what the Bible says. You know, man complicates everything. God makes it so simple. Romans 10, 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what?
Saved.
Isn't that simple?
Yes.
You know, how many times you see people, well, you need to come and you need to start by confessing all your sins. I'm sorry. I've got a certain number of years of sins that we ain't got time to listen to. And most of them I forgot. And you know, God don't, he doesn't knows all that. All he wants to know, what do I believe in my heart? Amen. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. I believe he's the sacrificial Lamb of God. And if I believe that, he said that, see, that's Paul, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4 is the gospel. It tells us what the gospel is, the salvation message. And so if I believe that Jesus died and he rose again, I'm saved. I'm born again. Amen. Look at verse 10. This all ties together, and this is what we've got to do. For with the heart, mankind, woman, boy, and girl, believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Wow. That's it. Just confess Jesus. And I love that, because with that confession, that's what I did sitting in that grass in that summer sun, late summer, early fall sun. Just confessed that I don't know nothing about him, but I know he's a good God. I know that he can forgive. Amen. Thank God, you know, for certain ways that things is done, but you don't have to be in church. You can be anywhere. And aren't you glad of that? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay. Let's talk about you and I. We are kingdom kind. You know, the Bible says that it's kind after kind. And so we're kingdom kind. We're kingdom. We're after the kingdom. We're born of the kingdom of Christ. And we're spirit sourced. Aren't you glad that the Holy Ghost is your source? So let's look at some very familiar verses of Scripture, but the Lord won't let me get away from them. And so, but let's start for a text in the Gospel of John, chapter 18. And let's, this 18th chapter, Jesus has been betrayed by Judas, and he's going before Pilate and all of these things. And we don't have time to read all of that. I got too much to say as it is, but let's just look at, John 18, verse 33. John 18:33. We'll read the closing verses here. It says, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? If you got a king, you got to have a what? A kingdom. Your kingdom kind. Art thou the king of the Jews? Verse 34. Jesus answered him saying, thou this thing of thyself, he said, Jesus said, did you say this because it was in your heart, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Look at this, verse 36. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. Jesus has a kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, and that I should be delivered, not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom, it's not from hence. In other words, his kingdom, we know where it is, and it's eternal. Verse 37, think about that verse. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Remember that. Everyone that is of the truth, prodigy, heareth my voice. And then Pilate make this one statement. He said, Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? What is truth? Brother Larry, would you pray? Yes. Yes. Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Larry. Thank you for honoring the word. Thank you for being here tonight. I just want you to get this in your heart. We're just trying to lay a foundation here. Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, since He is a King, He has a kingdom. And a king that has a dominion, that means that He has authority to rule and reign. So you and I, when we accepted Jesus Christ, when we believed in the heart and confessed with the mouth Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we become under His dominion, under His authority. He became our King, and now we're sitting under His authority. And that means that you and I were living out of the possibility of heaven. We're living out of the promises of God. We're living out of the reality of a relationship with Jesus. So we need to see that everything about our lives needs to be kind after kind, needs to be after Jesus' kingdom. Amen? So we've got to reprogram our mind, is what the world would say. You and I, we know that the Bible says that we need to renew our mind. And that word renew is where we get the word metamorphosis in our language, in our English language, but it's metamorpho, and it means you're changing from one thing to another. Brother Corey was talking about sanctification. That's what's happening to us. Right. You're being changed. Brother Green, every time you pray, every time you read your Bible, every time you wake up with a song on your heart and a scripture like you did the other night, you're being changed. It starts from the moment we get born again, and it'll keep happening to the sounding of the trumpet. Amen? And so we're kingdom kind, and so we need to learn how to be spirit sourced. We need to let the Holy Spirit be the source of all truth, because here Pilate is, he's standing before Jesus, and he has a kingdom in his own right in this world. He has authority in his own life in this world, but he's standing before the one who can make his life free. Pilate is standing before Jesus, the one that can cause him to be born again, Brother Donnie, be saved, be delivered, have some significance to his life. And Jesus is talking to him, and Jesus makes that statement about truth, and he says, "What is truth?" That's a sad thing, isn't it? That remember Jesus said, John 14:6, "I am the truth." He's standing before the truth, and yet he can't see Jesus. And so what we're going to look at, some different verses of scripture, because you and I, we've got to be in the place and the position that we make sure that we see Jesus as the final say of all things. Jesus is the light that'll drive away all darkness. Jesus is the word that is the seed to change your circumstance to the favor of the Father, to the kingdom reality, bringing heaven to earth. Amen. So let's talk about that. Let's remind ourselves of some things that we know is true. Go with me to the book of Philippians chapter 3. We usually just mention this verse. Very seldom do we ever read it, but I want you to lay your eyes on it, because something about using more of our senses. Philippians chapter 3, look at verse number 20. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 20. Look what it says. The Apostle Paul by the Holy Ghost says, "For our conversation is in heaven." And if you've got a modern translation, or if you've got a new translation, you'll see that word conversation would be better translated citizenship, because that's what it means from the Greek. So you have a citizenship. You have what we call a dual citizenship. You're a citizen of the United States of America. Thank God for that. That's in the natural. But in the spiritual, you're a citizenship of heaven. That means you can live kingdom kind. But the only way that can be a reality to you, your source has got to be the Holy Spirit. You've got to be spirit source, because the Holy Spirit always lifts up Jesus, always brings truth to you and I. And every day, even on the way to church tonight, some of you had to battle lies. Because the devil is a liar. He's not only a liar, he's the father of lies. And he loves to work lies in your life and my life. He loves to try to get us in the natural man, because if he can get you, if he can get me in the natural man, he'll win every time. But if we'll stay kingdom kind, if we'll stay spirit sourced, we're going to be in the place where we'll overcome all of those trials. Amen. So notice what he said now. He said, for our conversation is. Now, what tense is that? Right now, right? We're not having to wait till the trumpet sounds, though praise God the trumpet is going to sound. But you and I, we know where we're going before the trumpet ever sounds. We know who we are right now. We know who we serve. For our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven. So now let's think about this. Let's just get really natural and right down to the road of life. What would you say, and don't raise your hand, just let it mull over in your spirit. What's the percentage, do you think, of decisions that you make that are according to being a citizen of this world or a citizen of heaven? That's between you and the Lord. But I know the Lord's been showing me some things, and I'll tell you, you don't have to tell me, but I would say about 75% of my decisions come from being a citizen of this world, and the Lord's trying to help me with that. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, see, everything that I do, if I'm not careful, I'll do it as a citizen from this world. Like God says, go give them this. Well, immediately my mind says, well, I use that. And I may need it again. So am I in the, yes, Brother Duckett, so am I living as a citizen of this world, or am I living as a citizen of heaven? Brother Corey opened up with Psalms 24. See, Psalms 24 is the future for you and I. Right? See, Psalms 22 was fulfilled in the days of Jesus. Psalms 23 is the church age. You and I, we're living in Psalms 23. The Lord is our shepherd. But Psalms 24 is the eternity. And the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And everything that God owns, you and I are an heir of God. A joint heir with Jesus. So you say, I got to change. I got to make sure that I'm kingdom kind and I'm spirit sourced. I'm not limiting God by thinking that what I do or don't do is to determine what I'm going to have or not have. See, my paycheck, your paycheck, isn't the source of our money. Thank God for the job. Thank God for the paycheck. But the source of the money is that God gave us the health. He gave us the job. He gave us the favor to get the job. He is the source. And he rebukes the devourer off our finances. And he can make a little much. Amen. So see, we got to be thinking in this terminology. We got to be living in this terminology. See, God is showing me how I'm limiting him because I'm trusting in what I know or my ability or what I think I hold in my hand. My hand is a lot bigger in Jesus than it is in this world. Amen? All right, so my citizenship, your citizenship is in heaven. And notice what he said. He said, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that Paul is talking about we're looking for that coming of the Lord and the sounding of the trumpet. But to be citizenship minded, to be in this kingdom kind and spirit sourced, we got to be looking for Jesus in every decision. Lord, what do you want me to do? I tell you, it makes life so much easier. You realize that I've spent most of my life, the spring wound so tight, waiting to break. Because I felt like I had to make this decision, I had to make that decision, and I didn't know what to do. You know what I mean? And there's all this pressure. But as I start listening to the Lord and I start giving these things one thing at a time, one step at a time, as you said, sanctified, little by little, as you was talking about testifying, Brother Larry, little by little, then all of a sudden, life gets easier. And I start to realize, wait a minute. Can I just be honest with you? I really wanted the Lord to come, or I wanted to go to heaven. I didn't really care that much about life because I didn't enjoy it. Now, I enjoyed sin, don't get me wrong, but I'm talking about normal, everyday life. But now I'm starting to realize you can enjoy life. It's like an eye-opening experience. If you haven't lived like this, you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you have, it's amazing when there is no pressure on yourself. Everything's about what Jesus wants, and He always wants what's best for everybody. Isn't that awesome? See, sometimes we think we know what's best, and we don't. We're looking through the, Paul said that I look through the glass how? Darkly. There's coming a day when we're, that's not going to be that, baby. But right now, you and I, we've got some limitations. Okay. Now, he said, for our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven. So let's start living like that. Now, how do we do that? Jump back to the first chapter. Look what Paul says in Philippians chapter 1. He said, verse 25, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and for joy of faith. He's talking about he knows that it's needful for him to abide in the flesh. He's still got some things to do. Say, I still got some things to do. You know, to be from absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But right now we're here and we've got to be successful. And look what he says. He said, And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Now look what he says, verse 27. This is why we came here. Only let your conversation, once again, your citizenship. And this word from the Greek, it means to behave, to live like you're a citizen of heaven. Wow. Realize your inheritance is not going to do you a lot of good in heaven if you don't take advantage of it here on earth. See, the more we use our inheritance here, you know what it does? It's a seed that makes the inheritance up there get bigger and bigger and bigger. So only let your conversation, your citizenship, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. So what was we talking about earlier? We was talking about the gospel of Christ is good news. So anything in your life, anything in my life that isn't good news, that hasn't to do with Jesus and restoring fellowship with God the Father through the Spirit and bringing kingdom to earth, has nothing to do with who you are and what I am. We're citizens of heaven. That ought to encourage us so much, amen? And so we need to keep talking the gospel, the good news. We keep talking about what God's going to do. The news will frighten you. The internet will feed you truths and lies, a mixture. But this here, this is the truth that makes us free, amen? All right. Only let your conversation, your citizenship be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit. There you are, your spirit sourced by the Holy Ghost, and with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. So you and I, we've got to work together. Right. You know why heaven is going to be so great? Because the faith that God put in you and the faith that God put in me, the grace that He saved you by, the grace that He saved me by, the mercy that we're living in, we're going to learn how to operate in that. And it's going to bring such a victory and a power and a deliverance in our life that when we get to heaven, that's how we're going to say, holy, holy, holy. Over and over, because there's going to be such a unity there. No, because your voice is going to harmonize with mine. Your hands is going to harmonize with my hands. My hands is going to harmonize with yours. And Jesus is going to get all the glory. But we've got to see that we put our faith together. We live as a citizen of heaven now. And what's happening? See, the more that we do what God would have us to do here, the more glory He's going to get in heaven. The higher your hands is going to reach, the louder your voice is going to sound throughout all of heaven. Amen? All right. So Let's see some things. Go with me to Romans chapter 14. We're talking about being kingdom kind and Holy Spirit sourced. Look at Romans chapter 14. You know this verse very well. This is one of my favorite verses. Verse 17. Romans 14, 17. Apostle Paul makes this statement. For the kingdom of God, remember you're part of his kingdom. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. You know, we make, if we're not careful, we make everything about a relationship with God natural. We spend all of our time praying for food or clothes or house or shelter and all these things. And yes, we've got to have them. But the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. Jesus said he knew what you had need of before you. I'm in the kingdom. You're in the kingdom. So I need to realize that God's going to take care of me. That's why we preached what we did this morning. Remember about the fowl of the air and the grass of the earth, all of those things. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but look at this. But is its righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So if I'm kingdom kind, if I'm spirit sourced, then I'm going to have all of these things. First of all, I know that I'm righteous. You're sitting here tonight, and the only thing that is on your life is the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Righteousness, it means that you're in right standing with God. That there's nothing that is separating you from God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:21, we say it all the time, but Jesus was made sin that you and I could be made righteous. Amen. So the kingdom is about righteousness, not about all these little things that the devil tries to whisper in your ear. All right, so I got to see that I'm not striving for righteousness. I have received righteousness. And when I received it, I was made righteous. See, you're born of, because of Jesus. Amen? All right? You're born of the incorruptible Word, Peter said. Well, Jesus is righteous, kind after kind. You're righteous. So my kingdom is not of this world, but it's with Jesus. And so I've got this righteousness in my life. The world didn't give it to me, so the world can't. Don't live in fear. Because if you're fear, you're frozen. Amen? And we can't do what God would have us to do. So here's the kingdom. It's got this righteousness, for the kingdom of God is righteousness. So I can just rest in that reality. And notice what he said. He said, righteousness and peace and joy in or by the source, spirit source, by the Holy Ghost. You know, we talk about it all the time, but the number one medication that is prescribed in the world is for what? Anxiety, uneasiness, just because the devil, he loves to keep you and I in a place where there's no peace. But you're in the kingdom and the kingdom is in you. Jesus, Isaiah 26:3, he said that if you and I would keep our mind on him, the mind that is stayed upon the Lord is kept, guarded, protected, better than Fort Knox. Because there ain't nothing in Fort Knox now. Kept in perfect peace. Not just a little bit of peace, but perfect peace. That word is mature. That means it grows with you. It walks with you. The peace of God lives with you. Amen. So here you are. Here I am. We're in the kingdom. And so we know that we're righteous. But then we know that because we're spirit sourced, we have this peace of God. And when you've got peace of God in your life, you know, you may have a stack of bills. You may have questions. You may have health concerns. You may have all sorts of problems. But when you've got peace, then you've got joy. He said joy was of the kingdom. And it's spirit sourced. So I've got joy. I was looking at some statistics. You know, Jesus, he told his disciples, he said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Let them come unto me. You remember he put the little child and set the little child on his knee? You know, I think Jesus, one of the reasons why he loves children so much is because they're so full of joy. Statistics tell us that an average 4-year-old child, that they laugh 300 times a day. Now, let's take that to an average 40-year-old person. 4 times. 4 times a day. What has happened? That's why Jesus said, bring the kids to me. I need a break, okay, y'all? But can you imagine, though, the Bible says that laughter doeth good like a medicine. Don and I were ministering at homecoming Monday night. Brother David can testify to this. There was a lady there, and we were preaching about joy. And she had to fight through some things, but she was made sure she received, and the anointing of joy come on her. And she was just laughing and so happy. And she come up to Donna after church and she said, I hadn't got any pain in my body. See, laughter doeth good like a medicine. When you and I, when we've got this joy, it's going to produce laughter, amen? And your body releases chemicals. And those chemicals, those endorphins, they will take care of the pain. So we need to be in that place where we're so joyful. So I need to examine my life and see if something, if it doesn't have righteousness in it, if it doesn't have the peace of God in it, if it doesn't have this joy there, I need to say, no, wait a minute, that's of this world and I'm not of this world. And it's trying to get into me. But, you know, 1 John 4:1 says, try the spirits, see if they're of God or not. If they're not, then you have dominion over them. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. So you have dominion, you have victory. So I need to be in that place where I do some gauging here. I do some checking, amen? Because the devil will keep you wore out if he can. He'll keep me wore out. Always looking at the glass half empty. It's a hard habit to break. But guess what? We've got a spirit that lives in us, the Holy Ghost, that can show us the truth and help us. Amen. All right. He said, for the kingdom of God is. So what I got to do is I've got to check every situation by the word of God. The kingdom of God is. This is what the kingdom is. What I'm looking at, what I'm feeling, what I'm dealing with is not it. So I don't accept it. Amen. All right. So go back to John real quick. John chapter 8. Let's just mention something here. In John chapter 8, you got Jesus dealing with these scribes and Pharisees and all of these problems. And they're tempting Jesus at the first part of this chapter. We preached on this not too long ago. And they bring this lady that's caught in adultery. And they're warning, they're trying to get Jesus in a place where he'll either have to say that the law is wrong or see this woman stoned to death. And so Jesus, here, you know the story, so let's just look at this. Jesus makes this statement in verse 10. He said, the red letter part, he says, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Verse 11, she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee, neither do I judge thee. Go and sin no more. Can you imagine this lady? She was at the point where she knew what was going to happen in this kingdom. This kingdom, this world kingdom said, you've been judged. You've been found guilty and you're going to die. Can you imagine the weight that was on her life? But when Jesus dealt with all of those men that had brought her to him, no doubt writing scripture, no doubt bringing reality of where their heart was, then he said, where's your accusers? Can you imagine the relief that she felt? And so all of a sudden, she got a glimpse of what this heavenly kingdom was like. And he said, I'm not condemning you. Go and sin no more. Oh my goodness. Can you imagine the joy that come in her life? But because what Jesus said, he said, everything that has hurt you, everything that has caused you to be in this position that you're in, I don't judge you for it. I'm taking it away. It's gone. Go live your life now from this kingdom, not from this world. Okay, see, the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy. That got ministered into her life right then. But then he makes that statement, go and sin no more. Because why? Because you and I, as long as we're in this world, we're going to have to fight this old flesh. We're going to have to fight this noggin. And so that takes us to the bottom part of this verses. I'm going to drop down to verse 28. Then said Jesus unto these scribes and Pharisees, these that he called vipers. He said, you are of your father, the devil. There's two kingdoms. The devil has a kingdom. His kingdom is of this world. Amen. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. In other words, Jesus said he was always kingdom-minded, and after he was baptized and he was filled with the Spirit of God, he was Spirit-sourced. Now look what he says. You know this very well, but don't miss it because of your familiarity with it. Verse 30, as he spake these words, many believed on him. See, you and I, we have to keep hearing from Jesus. You can't depend on what you hear on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. You have to hear from the Lord yourself every day. And every time you hear from the Lord, you're going to have a new level of faith. And aren't you glad that you don't have to do it the way brother so-and-so does it or the way sister so-and-so does it? God didn't call you to be like them. He called you to be like him. He wants you to be you and him, right, Brother Duckett? That's freedom. That's liberty. All right, so Jesus is talking. So tonight, you can believe some things you never believed before. Because you're not listening to what I'm saying. You're listening to what the Bible says, and the Bible is Jesus talking. Amen? And look what happens. Verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. So it's not just enough to hear, to believe in the heart and confess with the mouth. We got to keep going. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. This word indeed, you're my disciples in surety. You're my disciples in truth. See, we've got a lot of people who claim to be disciples to Jesus, but they don't have any clue what he said. See, a disciple means that you're a pupil, you're a learner of someone. I don't want to be a learner of CNN. I don't want to be a learner of Fox News. I want to be a learner of thus saith the Lord, not by the PCG, not by the Assemblies of God, not by the Baptist, not by the Met, but by the Holy Ghost. Amen. That lives in you, that lives in me. Amen? He don't make mistakes. I make mistakes, but Jesus don't. Amen? So he said, if you'll continue, if you abide, if you'll have an expectancy in my word, then are you my disciples indeed in surety. Notice this. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That word, make, that liberate. It liberates you. So we have to go ahead and read verse 36. So if the Son therefore shall make you free, shall liberate you, you shall be free indeed in assurance. So I have to hear that in the God's kingdom, there's righteousness, there's peace, there's joy, but it's not enough to hear it. I have to keep hearing it. Or otherwise, I'll end up like Pilate. What's truth? Remember what our opening text? What is truth? So Jesus has got a kingdom, but the devil is trying to get his kingdom in your life and in my life. All right, in closing, go to the book of Galatians. The Lord won't let me out of this. I know that we've talked about it and talked about it, but I don't think that we're walking in this as we should. So let's hit some high points here. In Galatians chapter 5, look at verse number 1. Galatians 5 and 1. Notice the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, says, stand fast. You know, we've taught it many times, but in case you forgot, this word stand fast is from the Greek word stako, and it means to be stationary by persevering. In other words, you're founded on the rock right now, but everything the devil does is try to get you to step back, step to the left, step to the right, step off of the truth. How many times have you stepped out in faith and done something the Lord told you, and then here comes all of hell against you? And immediately the flesh goes, well, I don't know about this. And the devil said, oh, you misunderstood. And if I'll back up, guess what? The devil will pull back and make it seem like, oh, I just messed up there. No, I got deceived. Stand fast. Stake up. You've got to persevere. You've got to stay right where you're at. So tonight you're hearing some truth, and the devil's wanting to put a whole level of misunderstanding in your life, where God's wanting to bring an anointing, fresh anointing of righteousness, of peace, and joy. He's wanting you to live in that. He's wanting me to live in that. Stand fast therewith in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. There's that word free, to liberate as a citizen. Your citizenship is in heaven. Now what's the tense? He hath. It's already done, right? It's past tense. So how come so many people come to me and they say, will you pray with me? Help me pray that I can get deliverance from. Are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. See how the devil works? He lies to people. If you are born again, Paul just said right now, you have been made free. But see, if the devil tempts you and trick you and cause you to do something like he does all of us, and then make you believe that now you're bound to that, you're either in the kingdom or you're not. Y'all getting mad at me? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the what? The yoke of bondage. See, the devil wants to, he wants to bind you and I up. This yoke, it is an anointed yoke of the evil one. And this word bondage, every place, to get a good idea of it, I won't say every place, but it's translated slavery. I don't want slavery. Do you, Sister Michelle? I've been made free. You've been made free. But the moment I back up and say, well, okay, drop down. I know you're getting tired. I tell you, it's so hard. I pray for y'all. I pray for me. I pray for this community. And God starts giving me verses to pray over people. And you just want to get it in their heart so bad. I know we preached on this just here the other day, but I want to go over it real quickly. Verse 13, Galatians 5:13. For brethren, say he's talking to me, you have been called unto liberty. There's that word again. You have a citizenship. You're living as a citizen of heaven. For you've been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. The devil's going to try to get you back in the flesh. He's going to try to get me back in the flesh. And so I've got to say, no, wait a minute. No, I've got this citizenship from heaven. I don't have to live according to this flesh. Now, I just wanted to read that. I dropped down to verse 16. We all know this verse. We quote it. This I say then, walk live in, be occupied by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, capital S, and you shall not fulfill what? So if I'm occupied, if I'm living, if I'm walking in the Spirit, then I'm Spirit sourced. I'm kingdom kind, but I'm Spirit sourced. I'm letting the Holy Spirit show me the truth about everything. See, I can have a conversation with somebody if I'm in the flesh. They can tell me that peanut butter is made out of peanuts, and I won't believe them. Amen? Because the flesh, it wants to argue. It wants to be mad. It wants to be divided. It wants to judge. All of those things. That's what the old fallen nature does. So I walk. I'm occupied with the Holy Spirit. And I don't have to fulfill those things of the flesh that tries to get a hold of me. And I let the Spirit source truth in my life. Now, you know this. But in closing, look at these verses 22 and 23. You know, the preceding verses, you've got 18 works of the flesh. And the number 18 always means bondage in Bible numerics. And the flesh will keep you bound. It'll keep me bound. But look at these 9 fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is, right now, moment by moment, this is how you can tell if you're being occupied by the Holy Spirit or by the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit is, number one, what? Wow. Love. See, love conquers all. Love brings unity. Love doesn't talk evil to their brother or their sister. Love, it's the epitome of what God gave us when He gave us Jesus. Amen? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, you know this, joy and peace. So remember, you got to stand fast, verse 1 of this 5th chapter, stand fast with the liberty, the citizenship, wherewith Christ has made you free. So if you're feeling anything that has nothing to do with love, joy, and peace, it's not kingdom kind. And it's evil spirit source, not Holy Spirit source. But the greater one lives in you and me, so we can stop it. 2 Peter 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, that's authority, love, and a sound mind or self-control. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Oh. I like those others. Your version may say patience. Gentleness. You know, Jesus was so gentle, but yet He was not a wimp. Moses was so meek and gentle, but not a wimp. They got gentleness associated in this world with being a wimp. Uh-uh. There is something powerful when somebody gets in your face and you cannot do anything. I had a lady give me a cussing one time. Oh, boy. And I just looked at her. Didn't say a word. Finally, I just started smiling at her. And the more I smiled at her, the madder she got. But not bragging on me. Bragging on Jesus. Amen. God will give you what you need if your spirit soars. Now, why am I saying this? Because I'm, in all honesty, to tell you the truth, I've been going through some things physically, you know, and it's hard when you don't feel good not to be a butt. The flesh, you know, if it doesn't get what it wants or what it thinks it needs, it's, you know, bad attitude, discouragement, all these things. And so I want a source that defeats all that. Amen? I don't like saying I'm sorry. Not because I'm too prideful to say I'm sorry, but I want to live a life where I don't have to say I'm sorry. Amen? All right. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Aren't you glad? See, nobody wants to talk about that, but everybody, I don't know how many people have asked me, would you just pray that I can get more faith? You can't pray faith down. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God and by the Spirit. Amen. Meekness, temperance, there's your self-control. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ, you said you was a Christian. And when I said I was a Christian, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in, if we're kingdom kind, if we're spirit sourced, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, or envying one another. Everything about the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Brother Donnie, if you had a cup and you were walking around and I bumped into you and it was your morning coffee, what would spill? Coffee. Brother Corey, if you were eating lunch and you had your favorite drink, whatever it might be that you drank at lunch, and all of a sudden, maybe the little grease on the chicken, and you dropped that and it spilled, what's your favorite drink? Okay. And you spilt your coffee, what was in the cup? Why am I saying that? See, we've let the devil convince us that we've got all these other things in us. But we're in the kingdom and the kingdom is in us. Those things are in the flesh. They're not in your spirit. So what I've got to do, I've got to let the Spirit bring out of my spirit what's in there, because it's greater than the flesh. The flesh is going back to dust. The flesh doesn't determine whether I'm happy or sad. I don't get sad. We may get concerned about some people or situations or circumstances, but we don't get sad, amen? Because you and I, we see what the Spirit of God said, don't grieve, don't make the Holy Spirit sad. So if we're not supposed to make Him sad, we're not supposed to be sad. So, you're the vessel of the Lord. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So what's in you is the Holy Spirit. So what comes out is love, joy, peace, come on, long suffering. All of these things, that's what comes out. The devil wants to convince us that those other things have to come out. No, they're already out here. But what's in here is the love of God, the truth of God. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this wonderful group of people. Lord, I thank you that you would let me, that you would let Donna, let us work together to be able to bring forth your word to this wonderful group of people, that you would allow us to be able to put our hands together with this group of people and do your work in these last days, in this last days of the dispensation of grace. Thank you for that. Lord, let every person here, let them feel the truth of how much we love them, how much we respect them, and we give honor where honor is due. Lord, I ask you right now that you just make this word so alive to us and show us ways that the devil tries to keep us from standing fast. Show us the lies where we can live in the truth and we can have this freedom and this liberty. You said that where the Spirit of the Lord is, that there was liberty. Well, the Spirit of the Lord is in us, so there's liberty to be just like you called us to be. Speak to each person. Let them hear what they need to hear, because you're the heart knower. We'll be quick to praise you for it. Be glorified right now in our lives. Holy Spirit, lift up Jesus. We ask you, Father, in Jesus' name. Would you come tonight and make yourself an altar and just give your heart to the Lord in a new area. Give your heart to the Lord and just honor His presence and let Him show you some things maybe that you forgot, or maybe teach you some new things about what He has for you, where you can walk in a new level of intimacy. You can walk in a new level of freedom. See, the Lord wants you to bring Him so much glory because you're so different from the world that it brings these people who are lost and undone or hurting and bound up, brings them to Him through you. No man can come to God unless there's a vessel. You're the vessel that God has chosen to use. You're critical for this moment of time. Some of you here tonight, you need to let God wipe away a tear. There's going to come a day when God is going to wipe away all tears, and that means He's going to bring complete healing and the memory of all of those things of the past that have hurt and hindered. They're going to be gone. But He can do a type of that in your life tonight. I am so sorry for what some of the people have said to you. I'm so sorry that you've been disrespected and you've been dishonored. I'm so sorry for what the world has done. But let go of it. Give it to Jesus and let Him wipe that tear away. When He wipes that tear away, He'll bring healing in your life. See, that hurt is causing you to act and react in a way that keeps you from victory, from joy. Would you think about it? In Jesus' name.
All I know is something has to give. Something has to give. Living my life wild and free. Probably caught up. Oh, let's be home. Let's be home. That's where I'm at. Jesus. Everything changes. My world's gonna wash away. When I'm seeing you, it's all those doubts, they don't seem to matter now. Space is all for me. Space is all for me. Machines are not simple. They don't hold me anymore. It's not special to me. It's not simple to me.
Oh, glory. There's an anointing right now, Lord, for you to be able to forgive some people, to be able to let some things go right now. Hallelujah. Jesus will wipe that away. It won't change what they've done or what they said, but it does not have to impact you. It gets you in the place where you're living as a citizen. You're living in the place. Just think about it. In heaven, there's forgiveness. In heaven, there is a God who shines light and truth and love and such a power that He, the Lamb, is the light. That's for you right now. Would you give it to Him? Things that I hate to do is the things that was done in my own life. Isn't that sad? See, that generation, it can be for good or it can be for bad. We want the good, amen? Anybody? Okay. I love you. I know you. Sometimes you think you wish I'd shut up. But I just, well, I got my heart is for you to have the best. I believe that we're in a season where things are opening up. We're at today's Yom Kippur. Today's the Day of Atonement. Today's the most holy day in the Jewish religion, but it's a type of when you and I got born again. That's why I was talking about salvation. I didn't have sense enough to know it. I don't plan stuff. I don't have a theological degree and all that stuff. I just, whatever the Spirit of God says, that's what I do. And then He shows me why He done it. But I didn't even think about it. But that's what it, that's, so the day that you got saved is your Day of Atonement. It's the most holy day of your life. Amen. But I said that to say this because we're coming in to the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's a time when, whether you believe it or not, Jesus was really born. And it's a time when Jesus is going to come back again when at that sounding of that trumpet. I'm not saying, I'm not making predictions. I'm not talking about this Feast of Tabernacles. What I'm saying is He wants to come in your life every day and bring new revelation, new unction, new promise, new provision. Let Him do it. Amen. Hallelujah. That we're in that season. You can have what you ask for. If you ask according to the Word, I promise.
Let's give God a hand clap of praise. You know, it's pretty awesome. One of the things I love about the Bible app is also one of the things that I don't like about the Bible app. It can be kind of distracting, but I love the compare feature. And I have never looked at that in Ephesians chapter 5. Let me, sorry, I'm trying to pull this up. And Ephesians chapter 5, I'm sorry, Galatians chapter 5, that's 22 and 24. I've never looked at that in the message before. But I love how it breaks it down. Have you looked at it?
No.
But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, and serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Legalism is helpless in bringing this about. It only gets in the way. Among those who belong to Christ, everything connected with getting our own way and mindlessly responding to what everyone else calls necessities is killed off for good. It's crucified.
Wow.
Yeah, that's Eugene Peterson, when he sat down and it took, I don't remember how many years it took him to put together the Message Bible, but he tried to do a word for word, thought for thought translation, and I know it gets a lot of flack, but somebody like me when reads that, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, I need that.
That's good. Yeah,
I need that, and it's I love it when we think about or when we pray for things and everything. There's all the time that I find myself praying, God, I need more patience. God's like no. You've got my spirit. You've got patience.
Amen.
You know, the fruit is there. It's just, you know, if anything, pray, God, help me to grow my patience by your spirit. Help me to work, you know, use my energies wisely by your spirit. You know, there's he is our helpmate.
Yes.
He's absolutely our helpmate. So those things that we need help with, we can come to him and we can say, God, I need your help in this. And he is faithful to help us in that. Sometimes, like, his way of helping us do that is telling us, like, hey, get out of your own way. Quit tripping over your own feet.
Get out of my own way.
Yeah, get out of your own way. Quit tripping over your own feet. It's, yeah, anyway. It's funny. I had to, getting out of your own way. I have astigmatism. I didn't realize affected my depth perception until I actually got glasses that corrected it, and I stopped walking into things. I had to get out of my own way just a little bit there. You know, when that correction comes, you know, it's a anyway. That's a funny thought. This time we'll take the opportunity to bless the offering with gift freely. And to Brother Donnie, would you bless the offering this evening?
Lord, thank you for your provision serving my life, Lord. Thank
yes.
And all of us, Lord, thank you for what you've done, God. Thank you for the message that my Lord has stored into our hearts, Lord. May it become filled with you, Lord. Lord, as we depart from here, Lord, take the word that you've given us into our hearts, Lord. We must take it and apply it in everyday life, Lord. Each and everybody we come in contact with, let our light shine in our Lord. Go for the tithes and offerings. So,
yes. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, it's gonna be a good week. Amen. It's gonna be a good week. You know, it's let's just trust God, and as we leave here, that we'll have opportunities to serve Him. And I know next Saturday we'll be out of town, but next Saturday is Ozark Memories Day. I didn't know if the church had anything planned for that, but even if the church doesn't have anything planned, I urge you, take the opportunity to go out and spread the gospel. To evangelize a little bit.
Amen.
That, you know, anytime there's a gathering together, I work with some guys that are very evangelistic minded, and it's sometimes it's annoying. They just gush evangelism. It's like, why don't you guys just go anyway? It's serve the Lord. You're doing good. But anyway, something to be thinking about and praying about. I didn't think about this until they brought it up. But you know, next April, the eclipse. How many people they said are going to be in Russellville? Like me and my. Like I have a for somebody who tends to be so positive, I can be a little bit negative sometimes. And it's anyway, I'm sitting there thinking like, oh, all the traffic. I don't want to be at work at that day. I don't want to have to deal with all that. And they're like, think about the opportunity to present the gospel. There's gonna be more people in Russellville than ever before. I'm like, guys, just come on. Let me gripe for like 5 minutes. Jeez. But think about that though.
Didn't you say all the motel rooms is already booked?
Yeah, it's travel is going to be very limited that day. Like, seriously, the guys that I work with that are very evangelistic minded, they've already planned on putting in to have that day off. They're planning on parking like just north of I-40 and walking into town, and just that's their plan. That's you know they want to get out and minister the gospel so badly. And I'm like, that's awesome, guys, and I hope it works out. I really do. But it's I love having friends that keep you challenged like that. It's It's awesome. Anyway, so I'm going to quit rambling. We've entered worship. Now it's time that we leave to serve.
Have anything back there for Brother David? Have anything back there for Brother David?
Yes,
sir. Oh, no. What'd he do?
No.
Oh, no. You should tell it.
It's like it's not just hotels that have been booked. It's eating spots. It's cabins.